Hey, I'm Marcus.
And I'm Nick.
We are Working Class Nerds.
Cue the intro. That's right, we are Working Class Nerds, the podcast that gives you no information about your favorite information.
Today is Thursday, November 7th, 2019, and you can find this Onslaught Is Here podcast on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Buzzsprout. See, I mixed that up. You can also find the both of us on Twitter. He's Nick Byrne, and I am MarcusB814.
That's right, I'm Nick Byrne, that's N-I-C-K-V-E-R-N, and this week's episode, we're talking about our experience with SOTOR 6.0 expansion entitled Onslaught.
Wait a minute. You played it?
No, I did not.
You fuck. Anyway, so Nick, what have you been up to?
Well, I've had a little bit of an increase in the difficulty of my classes, which has been a little bit annoying. They used to be all easy peasy, but now I think my professors realized, oh, I'm supposed to have, like, I don't know, say 50 assignments worth of work, and they've only given us 10, and it's already halfway through the semester. So now they've ramped it up, so I have to actually do a lot more stuff.
Well, that's kind of good. They, like, work you into it and then just fuck you in the end.
Yeah.
That's...
They're like, you know, easing it, and then they pour it on, kind of. But in work news, I got some exciting news. I got a full-time position at the hospital.
Whoop.
Which is pretty cool. I'll be starting that in January. I'm pretty proud of it, honestly, because those positions are hard to come by. Like a full-time position in the daytime, it'll be 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Those are pretty, you know, fought over.
Is it a rotating schedule?
Yeah, but it's like a set six-week rotation. So it'll be every other weekend no matter what, but then...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like I know, like, firemen and stuff like that, they're like 4 days on, 3 days off.
Yeah, I'll have days off in between. Like, 1 week I'll have the weekend off and then work Monday, Tuesday, and then be off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but then work that Saturday and Sunday. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then that next week I'll work, like, Wednesday, Friday or something like that. I picked the rotation where... I only, out of the 6 weeks, I only work a Thursday one week out of the six so that we can be free to podcast more easily.
Wow. Dedication.
I'm trying.
Well, hey, that's, it's good too because you're going to get a dose of what?
Like working all the time is like?
Ugh.
Yeah. Although it's only going to be, I mean, every other weekend and then twice a week, three times a week, twice a week because one of the weekend days counts into that week schedule.
But still, but you know it'll be really sweet?
The money?
Your bank account.
Exactly.
You know, and health insurance.
Yeah. Well, I have health insurance now still, but yeah.
Well, once you're full-time, you're not going to use that anymore.
Well, no, actually I am. I'm still going to use the same one I'm on because, well, I can mooch off my parents till I'm 26, A. So I've got a couple years there. But B, if I get accepted into PA school, then I'll lose the health insurance from my job. So
I see.
So it makes more sense. It doesn't make sense to go on to switch twice, basically. I might as well just stay on my parents' health insurance for now. And then if I'm too old for it while I'm in PA school, I can just use the school's like health insurance.
And then
once I'm out and get a job, I'll have my own health insurance there.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Have you been gaming?
Not a whole lot. I did play more of that the Revan storyline in SOTOR in an attempt to get caught up on Onslaught, which I have now abandoned. Not that I don't want to play Onslaught, but I'm not going to try and catch up. I'm just going to hop on my Republic side tune and just start playing.
Well, here's the thing. There's such good content. As much as like you want to dive into Onslaught...
Like I want to like take my time through...
Well, yeah, enjoy it because like Shadow of Revan is awesome, and then everybody... You're going to see when you get to Knights of the Fallen Empire and Knights of the Eternal Throne, you're going to love it because it's single player RPG action and the content can be tough. So you're going to enjoy that. At the same time, you're going to be wanting to dive in. But also, too, you know, we're at right now, we're at mega game release time.
Right.
There's so many good games coming out right now. You know, I don't know what you've bought or what you want to, and I'm sure you're going to tell me, but
I am.
You know, it's hard because, like, I get easily sucked into.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Easy. A game,
yeah.
And then I'll play it two times and never touch it again. That's my MO. But anyway, so, okay, so you played a little Shadow of Revan. Great.
Yep.
What else?
I didn't think I was going to get it, but then a few nurses, male nurses that I work with, I mean, not that female nurses couldn't play video games, but just setting the picture, I guess, said that they're going to start playing Modern Warfare together, Call of Duty.
The new one?
Yes, the newest one.
Okay.
And they're playing on PC, but it's cross-platform. So I'm like, sure, I'll hop in on that. Why not?
Why not?
So I bought it yesterday, and I played a few rounds. I think I'm like level 7 or something.
Sure.
But so I will say, I didn't do too bad playing with mostly PC people on a controller.
Well, no, where you're gonna lose the gunfight,
yeah,
is when you're close quarters.
And, like, turn and shoot somebody.
Yeah, and you have to turn. They're already going to be on your head.
Yeah.
And you're going to be still turning or shooting at their gut before you can get the stick up to the head.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've watched a bunch of reviews on it because, like, I really want to get it. But I know that, like, I'm not going to play it because I started playing, like, the Destiny 2 PvP and I was loving it. But I played it, like, three times and I was like, okay, I got my fix. So, and I really wanted to Call of Duty. But anyway... The big complaint with this Call of Duty game that I've read and watched videos on is they're saying that it's like super camp town.
Oh,
like
yeah.
There's so many places you can just camp. It's not like the old arcade Call of Duties where Prey and Spray was like a real legit option.
Yeah.
Now if you do that, like...
You get destroyed.
Yeah, it's almost like Battlefield.
Yeah.
In that sense.
So there's a new... Yeah. Hey, let me address your first point. 100%, it's way more geared towards camping and or like playing really slow, like walking while you're aiming down sight and things like that, or like even just setting up in one like sort of structure. There's claymores in the game, and there's a perk. I think I mentioned it when I talked about the beta. There's a perk that lets you take two lethal like grenades, basically. Lethal items. I forgot what they're called.
Right.
Claymore, yeah, C4, whatever.
Yeah. Frag grenade, whatever.
Yeah. So you can take two claymores with this perk, and then if you have two claymores out, you can just set them on two doorways and then watch a window or two yourself and just, like, set up shop and just, you know, anybody that comes in immediately gets destroyed by the claymores. And there's a perk that lets you take less damage, but yeah, I think it's called EOD, Expert of Destruction or something. And it works, but like the blast radius on a claymore is way too big. Like in most cases, even if you see the claymore and somebody placed it wrong and then you can like shoot it, you can't possibly back up far enough in most spaces to like not die when you shoot it. Does that make sense?
It does.
So it's like, so a lot of people are complaining that the claymores are blast radius is way too big. And that they're just claymores are just everywhere. Like they're gonna fix it. Yeah, they'll fix it. So that's a contributing to the camp townness of it.
Well, and I'm sorry, like there should be no perk for taking less damage.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sorry. No.
Well, it's just for destruction. But well,
I
still.
Don't care. Yeah, but still, no. No.
Yeah, yeah, they should just kill you or not.
And even
when you take it, it's not even an effective perk because you still die from a claymore. Like there's never, at least from what I've been playing in the beta, and then also, you know, my limited playtime yesterday in the live, I've used that perk the whole time, and I've never not died from a claymore. Every time I trigger one, I always die.
Well, right, but here's the thing: if they take out the damage, I feel like the claymore problem is what is producing the problem in the game.
Like
because
the camping
like you
problem?
Said, if there's two doors to go into a room,
yeah.
You set up two claymores and then you sit there with your sniper rifle or assault rifle and you just straight murk people.
Yeah.
And then, claymore went off. Boom. Okay, now I got to watch that door.
Right.
Or pick up the other claymore and
move it to there and then, you know, whatever.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
It kind of wants the camping. Something else I read was that the design of the maps are the worst that they've seen in the Call of Duty games because they're very like spawn camp heavy.
Yeah, I found that for sure.
But here's now here comes Positive Pete.
Yep.
I've also heard that the game is awesome.
No, so there are some definitely some gripes. So you can get spawn camped pretty fairly easily on certain maps, like one or two that I played. It happened quite a lot. But so claymores are a little too overpowered, in my opinion. A little campy, not too bad. But and then there's a shotgun in the game that I think most people think is overpowered. It's like called the 725. It's an over-under, so it only has two shots, and then you have to reload. But it shoots at, like, assault rifle distances and kills in one shot at that.
Do you remember the dog rapist shotguns from Modern Warfare 2?
The dog rapist shotguns?
Yeah, so Penny Arcade did a...
comic strip?
Yeah, and it was, like, dog rapist or something. They were calling...
Oh, it was the model 1887s.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was and the double shotguns
akimbo
of death.
Them, so you could... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah and it
was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And they were like, no, you're a dog rapist if you use those. It's like, yeah. And I still have that comic strip. It's still my favorite comic strip.
That's hilarious.
But it's not up in here because...
It's not exactly...
Well, no, it's not. Well, I don't care about that. They can't read yet. It's just I'm not in my man space yet.
Right.
We're still griming in the basement.
But so I think they'll dial back that shotgun in the first patch. They'll probably fix the claymore radius. So I'm not too worried about that, and I don't think the maps are all that bad. Last gripe, and then I'll start compliment mode. I do think people online call it the net code. I don't know what that means, but I'll describe it as the delay between what you're experiencing versus someone else's experiencing. So
it's your ping.
Yeah, but I think people are saying that it shouldn't matter so much what your ping is. It's like their servers being not up to par, like technology wise. But,
well, their servers are really fucking old.
That's what they're saying. It's like they're using like the servers from several generations ago, and they should really buy new ones. So like what I'm trying to – the problem I'm trying to describe is you can see somebody turn and shoot them, like fire two or three bullets at them, and then when you watch the kill cam from their perspective, they're shooting and killing you before you've even turned yet. So
yeah, it's server lag.
It's server lag. So people are complaining about that, and I think that's the biggest issue, I think, and then probably that shotgun. If they fix those, if they can, I don't know if they're probably not going to fix the servers because that's a giant expense.
Well, they're going to have to if they want the game to survive more than 1 year because they gave PlayStation that 1 year.
Oh, exclusive mode.
Yeah,
right. That's true.
Like when the game is dead.
Yeah, that's why
you're going to be able to play it everywhere else.
Right.
Play it for free.
Right. So that's my biggest gripes. But beyond that, I really like a lot of the guns, especially the customization is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You get more like upgrades and custom, like all kinds of crazy scopes you can put on. And more than just like changing the reticle, there's like multiple types of reflexes, multiple types of ACOGs. Multiple types of like holographic sights, so I think that's really nice. There's a lot of customization there. You can add perks to your gun as you like level it up.
Well, they finally
that's
they
one of my
to.
Favorite parts.
Yeah, I was just gonna say because really, truly, once like what was my gun? It was the submachine gun, the MP5 or MP7.
Yeah,
that was my GAT, right?
Yeah,
you got it at like level 7 once you prestiged.
Yeah,
and like, that was my go-to, and I never switched.
Yeah.
I would have a bullshit secondary gun, but that didn't matter. And back then, I would have loved to have been able to, like, really customize that gun, because I don't use anything else.
Right.
Like, because you get your perks, like, your 10% more armor penetration and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's...
Boom.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, customizing the gun, I think, is important, because most people, once they find the gun that they're really comfortable with, that's their gun.
Right.
And that's all they play with.
Right.
Because I feel like so many of the other guns are so different and you don't want to risk going in and, you know, like learning and being like, oh, this gun sucks. Now I'm going to die. And
right.
Now I got to pick out the gun I want, put all the shit I want on it.
Right. Blah, blah, blah. And like, and then still realize you don't. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying. For me, I think that gun's, I've been using the M4 a lot, which a lot of people are using. I think that's most people are saying that's the best assault rifle in the game right now.
Mm-hmm.
But in the beta, I really like I think it's called the X13 or something like that. It reminds me of the old ACR.
I don't know.
Like, it just doesn't have a lot of kick. I like that a lot. But anywho, I played one level of the campaign. That seems pretty standard issue for Call of Duty. But I was super tired. And then I went to bed. So I'll probably talk about that a little bit more in later episodes.
Wait, what did you just say?
I played the campaign a little bit.
Oh. I know. I heard it's really good.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I only played the first level, which is like, hey, here's how you crouch. Here's, like, shoot this guy.
Well, and it's going to be, okay, you're going to run 1,612 miles.
And kill, like, seven people. And then
kill all these people. Okay, do that again and do it again. Okay, you got to shoot down a helicopter.
Yeah, I didn't even get to that part yet.
But it's
sure I'll drive a tank.
But the campaigns are usually fun.
Yeah. I actually enjoy the campaigns. I know that it's pretty like a superficial, but if you know that going in, it's kind of nice to, it's like watching an action movie. You know what I mean? You're not watching an action movie expecting to get like Oscar winning drama. You're there for shooting and explosions the occasional sex scene or whatever.
Well, right. I want to play all these games, but I'm not going to play them.
Right. Yeah. I know what you mean.
So I've been waiting to tell you about this game. Okay.
Okay.
And you texted me this game, I don't know, weeks ago, and it came out. It's called The Outer Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched the review on it, and I watched gameplay trailers, and I'm like, holy fuck, they fixed Fallout. It's so much better. No more of that stupid VAT system where you, like, aim and shoot them three times in the head, and then you still don't fucking kill them.
Yeah.
Right? Did you get that game?
No, but I'm going to. So
I heard it's Fallout New Vegas in space.
That's what I'm really hoping for. So
is Fallout New Vegas your favorite of the Fallout series?
Yes. 100%.
Wow.
By a landslide.
Yeah. So why don't you have this game?
So I got paid today. So yesterday I was a little tight on cashola and I knew I wanted to play Call of Duty with, people.
Some
from
friends.
Work. Yeah. So I went and did that, but basically, I'm going to go after I'm shadowing a PA tomorrow. So after I do that, I'll go to GameStop and get Outer Worlds.
I can't wait for you to have a real job so you can just fucking be done and buy a computer.
I know. That's probably my next big purchase is a computer.
No, we're totally going to build you a computer.
Yeah.
Because
you got some Franken parts I can steal for sure somewhere.
Yeah, it's going to come out of that.
So you're going to upgrade and
yes, you're going to get your first video card in your desktop will be a Titan.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. I just brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah.
Wipe it away.
All anyway, right. So wait, no. I'm not done with The Outer Worlds.
I'm not either.
Oh, okay. So what I liked is it's a true first-person shooter.
Yep.
And it has do you remember the game Max Payne?
Yes, where you'd stop time and shoot and stuff like that.
So that's what they did instead of that stupid fucking VAT system.
Yeah.
So it's like bullet time. Neo.
And then you shoot him.
Yeah, and you watch the bullets go by him.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so the campaign is about 30 hours.
That's fine.
Well, that's fine. That's perfect.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a bunch of side missions, but I guess they were saying, and I read an article that there's like 7 DLCs.
Oh, that's great. Is there a season pass to buy?
I don't know, but
that's something I wouldn't mind buying if it was like 40.
Is it a sham though?
See, it depends. Like, okay, all right, so normally I would say yes. Like DLCs and like season passes are typically a sham, but I guess it's cuz I have such a boner for Fallout New Vegas that like and the marketing campaign. So this company Obsidian made the first two Fallout games, Fallout 1 and 2, and some of the ones in between. And then they, were a small company, and they sold the rights to the Fallout series to Bethesda, who then made three and published New Vegas, made 4, and so on, and 76, blah, blah, blah. But Obsidian developed Fallout New Vegas from the script that they were going to use for their third Fallout game before they went bankrupt and sold the rights to Fallout to Bethesda. So Obsidian, this company that made Outer Worlds, originally made all the Fallout games and also made my favorite Fallout game in the newer era of Fallout games. So when now they're making Outer Worlds in the marketing, they're like from the real creators of Fallout saying like, fuck you, Bethesda, for like screwing up Fallout with 4 and this crap they did with 76.
I don't even want to talk about
which is
what they're
fantastic.
They
I
made
love
a
that marketing campaign.
Yeah, but they just made Fallout 76 have a subscription.
Oh, I know. Like they just can't stop screwing that whole game up.
Well, not just that. They're just fucking everybody. But anyway, I'm going to go on a rant.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So not, yeah, not good with 76, but Outer Worlds. So because I like Obsidian and, you know, I like their, I don't know how big they are now, but they were a smaller company and you know, I'm sort of rooting for the underdog. I almost kind of trust them more to like not screw you over with a season pass or like DLC.
Yeah, but it's come out long enough where the reviews on it are awesome.
Right.
Who made the Elder Scrolls? Was that Bethesda or Obsidian?
No, that was all Bethesda.
Okay, because they're coming out with a new one.
Yeah, that I'm looking forward to too. And like, even compared, so like Skyrim came out. Bethesda makes all the Elder Scroll games too.
Okay.
Bethesda, Skyrim came out, and then Fallout 4. They made 3, and then right after, they let Obsidian make New Vegas while they were working on Skyrim. Skyrim comes out, and then...
And mind you, Nick has played 12,000 hours of Skyrim.
Probably 1,500 hours worth of Skyrim.
Okay.
In a decent estimate. And I think Skyrim is a substantially better game than Fallout 4. There's just like there's tons and tons and tons more to do in Skyrim than there is in Fallout 4, which I think is fairly inexcusable for, you know, you're like something you want to make something equal to your previous products at least, you know what I mean? And you know, even if they just updated the graphics and then made something of similar scope, that I think that'd be totally fine and people would have been super happy with that. But anywho, where was I going with this? Oh, I trust Obsidian, so I would definitely buy a season pass for that DLC, especially if it's 7 things. Even if it's only like 3 story expansions. 3 story expansions is huge. That'd be great.
But I guess I guess I didn't ask it right. So if there's like 7 DLCs planned for this.
Yeah. Is that right, or that they didn't come
out
in the game?
Or is there 3 DLCs planned and they were like, oh, we'll just cut the campaign short because the campaign was supposed to be 60 hours.
Right.
Instead of... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that always worries me about season passes. And I guess that's a topic for another show. We should really talk about the messed up things that game companies do.
Yeah. Like, I'd almost rather pay, like, $80 or $100 up front.
But why aren't games more expensive?
Yeah, like, why can't they just...
If they're going to give us a full-rate game, why can't they just raise the price on a game?
I would be fine
that. They've been $60 since the Xbox 360.
Right. Like, I remember paying $40 for a game, and then, like, I think the 360 or, you know, that generation came out. And it was $60, and I was like, oh, well, that kind of sucks, but okay, like, you know, they got to make more games cost more.
It hasn't gone up in forever.
I don't know why. I guess you have to be, no one wants to be the first person to raise the price of their base game.
I think it has something to do with something else.
Yeah, there's like, some economics thing that we don't understand. Maybe it is that they make more money.
Did the government put, like...
a cap on it?
Yes.
I don't think so. Why would the government get involved with game prices?
Because they were trying to stop people from Grand Theft Autoing people.
Yeah, but like, not,
I don't know.
Yeah,
we
but
gotta
raising,
research this.
We'll dive into this another time. So besides Outer Worlds, and talking about games that I'm gonna get soon and play and talk about on the show, Jedi Fallen Order comes out next week on the 15th, and you know I'm getting that and talking all about that.
Marcus, I'm glad you're gonna get it.
Yeah, I know you're not interested. I will. I'll do a deep dive.
No. I'm eager to hear what you have to say about it because it looks good.
Yeah.
My concerns with the game are they're using Frostbite again for a story element game.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Where I don't feel as if it looks good, but it almost looks hokey.
Yeah, like it's hard. You like are constantly aware that you're watching yourself play a video game, kind of.
Right.
You don't.
So,
it's tough to get immersed with that, like aesthetic.
And I guess I'm gonna let you be the guinea pig.
Yeah.
Because I want to know: is it just a linear RPG? You're just gonna go through levels? Or are you gonna be able to like explore planets? Like, I'm just really curious to see how everything comes out, and if the game doesn't hold up, it'll be really cheap at Christmas time.
That's true.
But either way, I'm eager to see
how that actually is.
But in Jedi Fallen Order, it's coming out on Steam.
Oh, that's sweet.
I guess EA is realizing that Origin sucks and people don't want it. And they're going to start releasing games
on Steam
again, which is shocking because Steam takes 30%.
Wow. That's a big hit. Yeah, but they must be losing so much money by having it only on Origin, or they think they are anyway, that like,
well,
that 30% is worth it.
I don't buy as many games that are EA because of Origin, because like I was just saying about Red Dead.
Yeah.
Like, of all the people that should play Red Dead on the computer, it's my computer.
Yeah, like your computer's built to play
to play Red Dead.
Yeah, to like the fullest capacity.
Exactly, and it would look fantastic.
Yeah.
But on the opposite side of that is it's only being released for like the first few months on the Rockstar thing.
Right.
The Rockstar launcher, and I don't want
another launcher.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd rather wait the month, 2 months, 3 months for it to come out on Steam, and then I'll just download it for Steam and be done.
Right.
I like everything being organized in one place.
Yeah.
But the Fallen Order game, the story is what intrigues me, because that's where the real lull is after Order 66.
Yeah, I want to see what...
What does it feel like knowing you're one of the last apprentices or Jedi?
Yeah.
But how does it end? Like, clearly you're going to die.
Yeah, or like you go into hiding or something. Like, at some point this character must die.
Spoiler alert, is he in Rise of Skywalker?
Dun, dun, dun. That would be crazy.
Yeah.
What if one of the canon ending for this game, right? Spoiler alert. This is just a theory coming out of my tuchus. But what if he turns into some apprentice of Palpatine's that is in hiding, and when Palpatine shows back up, he's got this crazy bodyguard, and it's the kid from the game.
What if Palpatine takes over the kid's body?
Oh my God, that's even better. That's way better. Yeah, but he must have kept the kid around for a long time, because Palpatine doesn't die till way later.
But what if he just took over his body when his body was dying? We didn't know it. And right now, he is Palpatine.
That would be crazy.
Ovaltine. Anyway.
Emperor Ovaltine.
Okay. Can I talk? Here we go.
Yeah, so what have you been doing?
Well, work. So I got hurt these past months. It sucked. Yep. I'm feeling much better. I've been working insane. Who cares? I want to tell you, I've been holding this in for weeks. Okay? To all the ranked PvP players in SOTOR, if you do it and I know you, okay, please be offended, because I've tried ranked PvP like 4 times, and every single time I do it, people like tell me I'm the biggest piece of shit in the world. I should slit my throat and die.
Jesus.
I talked to Kogus about this, and he's like, Marcus, there some people just take it really seriously. I'm like, I'm trying to learn, and they're like, do regs, like the regular stuff. I'm like, but regulars, I don't want to do hutball. I want to just do one, like a 4v4 match.
Yeah.
And it's different. I'm so upset about this because this one guy or girl, Rosalie, fuck you. I'm so, like, we were in a PvP match.
Yeah.
They said, they started with like, oh, you should be playing Jug. And I'm like, whatever. And I told them, as soon as I got into this match.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, guys, this is my first ranked PvP match, which I think I did one before, but on accident. Like, I had no idea what I was doing, and I clicked play PvP, and I clicked ranked.
Yeah.
Right? And I told everybody, and they're like, oh, it's no problem. You'll be fine. So immediately I jump into this match. 4 players kill me instantly. Like, all 4 of them must have, like, been, like, kill the Marauder first.
Yeah.
Right? So I died. This person straight up berated me, like messaging me that I'm the biggest piece of shit on the planet. I should just die. There's no reason for me to even play video games. Like, dude, it was bad. I took some screenshots. I'll have to show you.
Jesus.
So I was like, whatever. I was like, and my response was like, whatever. I'm my first time here. And they're like, you shouldn't even be here. This is for elite players. And I was like, actually, it's not. They give better rewards here. Screw off, I'm going to play.
Right.
So round one was over.
What a toxic douche.
Yeah, dude. This is why I'm so mad. Like, and this is 4 matches, Nick. And I'm sure I know some ranked PvP players, and people are listening and like, fuck this guy. I'm never listening to this podcast again because I said that. But I'm like, prove to me that you're decent human beings, because you're not.
Yeah.
Like, I've never felt like so, like,
so much like unjustified hate.
Like unjustified. Like, I'm a generally happy person.
Right.
Like, really?
As am
happy.
I, yeah.
Yeah, and this person, well, many people, but this person, anyway. So round two happens. This Rosalie person gets in the match and was like, hey, fucktard, make sure you don't die. I was like, oh, I'll try. And they're like, go after the healer. We'll mark him. I said, okay, great. So I lasted like a minute, which was fantastic. Like, I grew.
Yeah, like, way better than
the... And I typed it in chat, and I was like, hey, that was much better. The three other players, or two other players, were like, yes, that was much better. Let's do it again. Are you going to come back for another one? This person, Rosalie, was messaging me, telling me, he's like, I flagged you for cheating. You're going to get account banned. You suck. I wish I could slit your throat for you. Like, I've never in my life ever felt like we played Call of Duty in the heyday of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Where if like kids listened.
There's some serious shit talking.
Yeah, there was a serious shit talking, but never. Like, we never told somebody to go kill themselves, right?
Right.
So.
Well, clearly this person is doing it via keyboard. I think even if it was voice chat, they wouldn't be saying this. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think they would. But. So
my point was that they're hiding behind the keyboard. Like, this is clearly a person who.
But it wasn't just this person. But this was the worst one.
Yeah.
Every other match I went into, there was at least one super douchebag that was just berating me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, and the shit they say is it's not nice. Like, I tell them I'm new to this.
Right.
And they're like, you should be playing regs. And when I told Kogus this, he was like, yeah, you should be playing regs. I'm like, bullshit. Why can't I play ranked? The only way you get better is to do it.
Yeah, like, but if, like, you're playing ranked, like,
who cares?
And you're new and you're terrible, like, you're going to be in the lowest ranked anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, what? How the fuck? These people are the same rank as you.
Because winning and losing doesn't matter in your rank.
Right.
I don't think. It's all about your kills and all the scores you get.
Right.
Like, damage done and all this stuff. That's what boosts your rank.
So, like, and at the same time, if you, Marcus, are terrible, which obviously you're new, so you are, you're being paired with these people. They're just as fucking bad as you.
Well.
In theory, anyway.
Well, no. I think the ranked PvP community is really small, and
okay.
These people take it really seriously. But anyways, so this match gets over. I leave the game. I leave the PvP, and I was just like, I was really upset. Kogus was streaming, so I started Discord messaging him, and I sent him pictures, and I'm like, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, what can you say?
So I started doing some other stuff in-game. You ready for this?
Yeah.
This fucking person follows me out of the thing and starts whispering me that I should die. I wish I could find the pictures so I could show you. Like, I hope you're hanging yourself because you're such a piece of shit. And, like, I was just like, oh, my God. Like, is this real? Is this really?
Like, what kind of person spends their day doing that? Like, why do you go out of your way to do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I believe, by the way, that's what they call cyberbullying.
Yeah. Oh, so this is the last one. Enjoy your account banned. You're a piece of shit because you throw ranked matches.
Wow. Yeah, you threw a ranked match, definitely.
Right. And I went into, right immediately after that, I did an operation with Rutt and his guild, Clickbait, and they're also a group of people. I was just filling in. And I was telling them about this, and I'm like, this person is still messaging me this stuff. They're like, you should report them. It's not right. And I'm like, what am I going to report? He was mean to me. What are
well,
they
yeah.
Gonna do?
I mean,
they're not going to do anything about it. Like, that part, they're not going to do anything about it.
I mean, they certainly could. They could ban that guy's account.
Well, I put it in my October, like, report.
Yeah.
That was just like, this person, like.
It's like over the top.
Yeah. I just don't get it. Like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Like, ranked PvPers, like, I hate to tell you, it's the same thing I feel like Nim Raiders, and even Hard Mode Raiders that, like, have this, like, elitist mentality.
Yeah.
Like, the people that want to learn, you should be taking them. If they say, hey, this is my first time here, teach them. Like, at least Nightmare Raiders, they'll, like, okay, you're new. Here, let me show you how to do this.
Right.
Or, like, this is my first time doing a hard mode up. No problem. You have to worry about this mechanic, which is different than story mode. Like,
right.
The more people that learn how to do it,
The better the community is yeah.
Later. But these people are so toxic, like, I don't ever want to do a ranked PvP match.
Right.
And then when there's nobody left to play it, they're going to be like, oh, nobody plays it anymore. Well, I wonder the fuck why.
Exactly.
I was really heated about this.
Yeah, as you should be.
So
100%. The fuck.
Anyway, Onslaught. I'm sorry, everybody. I love you, everybody. Anyway, so Onslaught. Onslaught comes out, and I was so hyped for it, and I didn't even get to play it on launch day.
Oh, yeah.
Work. So right. I've been playing it. Death Star Troopers has had some awesome fun times. We've been really getting, like, having fun doing story mode ops. Everybody's getting gear. Everybody's getting their tacticals, all this stuff. It's been really, really fun. My current gear level is 299. I know. I'm slacking.
Yeah, but you're almost, it's only 306 is the top thing.
Right.
Like, 299 is close.
But I've been playing a lot.
Yep.
On the pub side.
Okay.
Doing the Jedi Counselor story.
Gee, I wonder why.
Well, no. I just, okay, so should I call him out? He's a great friend of the show.
Who?
Mal. Anyways, So Mal was like, how come you don't have your legendary status? That means you finish
all the class stories. Yeah.
And I'm like, because I do...
operations only.
Operations.
Yeah.
And he's like, step up your fucking game. And I'm like, ugh.
Fine.
So then I started playing the counselor story, and there's like this great plague or whatever, and I completed chapter one, and I'm like, actually, this is pretty good.
How are the companions? I heard they're okay on that tune.
So I have Theron Sedrax right now, and he has like a hollow lady, like a hologram lady, and she's like an AI, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much the only companion I use right now,
because
I haven't gotten to our friend. Anyway, so big shout out to Jackie Chow. Nick's alum crush.
We're not my crush. We just talked for a long time.
Yeah. Anyway. So
I want the guy to come on the show. Don't creep him out now.
No. You guys are alumni. You guys have like Husky fever. I get it.
Yeah.
You guys both want Huskies. One black, one gray.
Reminisce about drinking too many beavers at, that's a giant pitcher of mixed drink. That's like $10.
Okay. Anyway, I don't, yeah.
At Ted's.
It's Ted's. Good old, you know, it's good, like, old Ted's.
It's like a solid name for a bar, right?
Yeah, that's
especially a college
name.
Gar.
Where are you
bar.
Going?
Ted's.
Or you're like when you're trying to sneak in before you're 21, you're with your parents. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going over to Ted's. You know what I mean? Oh, okay. Say hi to Ted for me.
Yep.
Anyway.
Oh, Ted said hi.
Yeah, so I completed the story. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I think it was very well done. The Jackie's flashpoint on Corellia was awesome. It was a really good flashpoint. I enjoyed it.
How are the fights?
Fun.
Yeah.
Like,
did you find the fight we were talking about?
Yeah. And when we, when I get to do it in the harder modes, I can see how it's going to be really tough.
Yeah.
Or like fun tough.
Like fun mechanics and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, really fun. Man, I still am. See, I'm fucking heated about this PvP thing.
Yeah, dude, that gets under your skin, man.
Dude, like,
it's real easy. Like, So I'm taking classes at a community college just for prereqs right now, right? So one day I was running late, and normally I park in a lot that's like a 10-minute walk away. But I was running late, so I parked in a lot that's right next to my building. And it's kind of in a, the way it's set up, you drive in through this entrance, and I just kind of like drove past the whatever, drove by all the spots and then parked. And at the end of the lot, there's like a T, and this guy in like a yellow vest was standing there, like kind of semi-directing traffic, because it's a rough like turn to make if a car's coming. So
yep.
He like stop. I pull out of the spot, and he sees that I have the wrong decal for that lot. And like says like, oh, like roll down the window. I'm like, okay. And I'm already leaving at this point, mind you. So then he goes, you know they're going to ticket you, right? Going to ticket me. Not that eventually if I continue to park there, they're going to ticket me. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you don't care? Mind you, it's a $5 parking ticket. Five fucking dollars. No. And so I went, no, I don't care about one parking ticket. Like, I felt like saying, get the fuck out of my way. Like, you're not a fucking cop. Stop wasting my fucking time.
You, wow.
Like, you entitled piece of shit. Fuck off. My time is worthwhile, and you're fucking wasting it.
Yeah, but why is he busting your balls?
Exactly. You're getting paid to be there, and there's like 7,000 open spots in the same lot. It's not like I'm restricting somebody's spot.
But I don't get it. What, like... See, okay.
That's where my...
He plays ranked PvP.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, why are you going out of your way to bust my balls?
Right.
And that is a substantially lesser version of the same feeling that you're experiencing times 1,000.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway. Back at the ranch, how...
Anyway. Onslaught came out. I said that earlier. I have to tip my cap to BioWare. I really was on the train that it was going to get released on Tuesday and I wouldn't be able to play it.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of went off without any hitches. I mean, a couple little things broke, but nothing major.
That's great.
Yeah. And it's, they did such a great job and they should be really proud of themselves and, you know, what a success. And now to the gear grind.
So,
yeah. I would like to just talk about one thing.
What?
And say, Nick, step up your game. Play Onslaught so we can talk about it. I feel like I'm like the one.
I thought you were leading me into something. I'm like, dude, there's like lots of other things to talk about before I start reading stuff.
No, I want you to play the game.
I know. I'm going to. Okay.
Just play the story. I'm crying here.
I've been playing the story. I've been working through a whole expansion. It's only been 2 weeks. Jeez.
Anyway.
And I'll start. I'll skip everything on my Jedi tune and just jump right to it. All right.
Yep.
So in AIE news, we got some announcements to make. Mega for November is November 15th at 9 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to be the Onslaught Takeover. Marcus, what are we doing?
Well, I don't really know. Like, it's going to be... whatever we can do for Onslaught, like maybe we'll run some flashpoints, whatever it is to get gear. If we get enough people, we'll do some operations, whatever it is. But it's going to definitely be Onslaught related. We were going to do something else like SEMA San Diego or something, but I decided like we've been waiting 3 years for an expansion. Let's really enjoy this expansion. And that's why I've been taking my time and really enjoying doing it. Because I don't want to rush. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And like, actually enjoy it and not just power through.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Anyways, the last week during, or 2 weeks ago, when Onslaught came out, I decided I was going to kind of do a bunch of operations on Saturday night. So we got a group together, and we started, I don't know, 8:30 at night and went until we all couldn't keep our eyes open. Mm-hmm. And we were doing 16-man story mode. Man, those bosses were hitting hard. I don't know if it was intended to be that tough, but man, it was tough.
Yeah.
But we still got through one and almost another one. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, I like doing group events like this because it just gets everybody together and we all get talking.
Yeah.
And we're not doing PvP. So, Nick, what do we do on Tuesday nights?
It's mandatory fun night where the fun is mandatory, but attendance is not.
When does that happen?
That's Tuesdays, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern time. And, yeah,
everybody's welcome.
Everybody's welcome. If you're in AIE or not, correct?
Yep. Get our,
jump. So if all this sounds fun to you, go to AIE-guild.org, jump in the Discord and ask for a guild invite, whether you play SOTOR or any of the other games we play, we would love to have you. So there's mandatory fun nights, I believe, for all the different games, right? Not just SOTOR.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a night of the week where there's just...
something every night. I think there's only one night a week that there isn't something. And it's crazy. We've gone through it. We should add that to the notes because it actually is pretty incredible of how many different things, just mandatory fun nights, that the guild does.
Yeah,
in all those
there's one every single week, every single day. I think
and
there's
some of them,
6 days.
Like, I think Final Fantasy 14 has 3 different mandatory fun nights.
That's crazy.
Like, they'll do, like, story stuff, and then they'll, like, do, like, the easy operations, and then they have another mandatory fun nights that's, like, the really, really hard elite operations. It's crazy. Three mandatory fun nights in 1 week, one game. Boom.
That's awesome.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So anyways. if this sounds fun to you, jump. It's AIE-guild.org, people. Come play with us.
Yeah.
So
I already know, Nick.
Yes, I would like to pee before we start talking more Onslaught.
Jeez, Nick, hurry up. We're trying to finish this podcast.
And we're back. So today we're talking all about Onslaught. All Onslaught, all the time. Episode 57. Onslaught. It's Onslaught time.
I kind of forgot to talk about something else.
Are you... What? It's supposed to be all Onslaught all the time. Didn't you hear the intro?
Well, I heard it.
It's Onslaught.
I know. I just really want to hear... do you have the Ocarina of Time Legend of Zelda?
Yeah, I think I do. It's for like GameCube somewhere. I don't have it for the N64, the OG console.
Well, if you actually have Ocarina of Time on the GameCube, I'm going to have to borrow that.
Okay.
So I started listening to a Zelda podcast and all this stuff. And
rewind it back. When did that start?
A little while ago. It's called Another Zelda Podcast, and I'm fucking addicted to it.
Oh, you told me when you started playing Breath of the Wild a little while after you started listening to this, right?
Yeah. So anyway, I've been playing Breath of the Wild before, but I was like really into Breath of the Wild. And
a little after you started playing Breath of the Wild, you started listening to that podcast.
And all they talk about is Ocarina of Time is the best Zelda game ever.
That's a pretty popular opinion.
Right. So anyway, okay, to Onslaught. So to start it off, Nick, I wanted to just say, like, let's celebrate what they gave us in the expansion day one.
Yeah. Like a celebration of all of BioWare's efforts here.
So they gave us a new story, which is awesome. It was a little short, but I think because Osys was supposed to be in this expansion, but they needed to give us some content.
Yeah.
And they made a fake gear grind, whatever. But I think for the most part, Osys was... If you put Osys as this expansion, it's pretty epic.
Yeah. That makes sense because it was supposed to be.
Right.
So the Flashpoint is awesome.
Yes.
That's really cool that they did that for us. They could give
It was an awesome ending to the story. Now, I am almost at the end of the Republic side story of it, so I'm just about to do the Flashpoint on the pub side.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let you know the differences. So they also gave us the nature of progress. Operation, which is basically Jurassic Park. Shout out to Matt P, friend of the show. Well, guest on the show.
Yeah, he's a friend of the show.
Yeah.
He's been on.
Yeah.
Makes you a friend of the show.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't think anybody's really screwed it up too much.
No, I think we've had a couple people screw it up. You know who you are. Ariel. Anyway.
I'll have to send her the timestamp for that one.
Yeah, so...
Speaking of which, preview to December, she'll be on.
Oh my God!
See, we gotta cut in and make an announcement real quick.
Oh my God! So how did we forget
another interruption to all Onslaught all the time? So when we do, of course, we're gonna do an episode 9 review.
Yeah, but can we talk about the shit show of episode 9? I bought 6 tickets.
We should have brought this up earlier.
It's okay. We can talk about it. This is what makes it fucking podcast gold.
All right, so. Yeah, so I, Marcus and I were texting back and forth. Hey, we need to be, you know, We need to be ready. Johnny's on the spot to buy tickets for...
it goes on sale at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, for the, you know, the midnight, the night showing of...
the night before showings.
Right, because it officially launches like it's a video game. It officially comes out on a Friday. I think it's the 20th or something. So we're seeing it Thursday the 19th, because a lot of theaters do that. They show it like that night before. Yep. So we're like, okay, our usual spot doesn't have tickets on sale yet. What we got to be ready when they do. And then Marcus looked it up and he found somewhere else had it nearby, which is also a nice theater.
So immediately my go-to was I clicked it and I didn't realize that theaters have reserved seats now.
Right.
So I clicked 2 seats, purchased it, didn't even think about it at the 7 o'clock show.
7:10.
7:10.
Yeah.
And then I was like, fuck, I really want to go to 2 shows in one night.
Right.
And the second show,
not often when you get away from the kids. So if you're going to be away from the kids for one night, you might as well just go see it again at midnight or whatever.
Right. Who cares how tired I am the next day? So, and I was like, oh shit. The second showing is at 10:50.
Yeah. That doesn't give you a lot of time in between to like,
no. And I'm like, what if I got to take a leak and whatever, all this? I'm like, shit. So I text Nick and he's like, well, what are you going to do? So before he responded with that, I bought two more tickets for the 6 o'clock show, and so then I bought two tickets for the 10:50 show. So the night of the movie, we're going to see it two times.
Right. So what we ended up doing was Marcus sold the 7:10 tickets to one of your friends. I think Will's taking it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we bought two more tickets. So as I'm explaining this, you know, comedy show of Marcus buying all the tickets in the whole theater, to my sister and my dad, they're like, hey, we want to go. Let's go all see it together. So I bought two more tickets to the 6 whatever showing. So Storm and Norman and my sister Ariel, friend of the podcast, are both going to be coming with us to the 6:10 show. And then afterwards, they're both going to be on the show reviewing the movie with us.
Right. And Skywalker. Anyway, all right, so back to
Onslaught.
Okay, so back to Onslaught. So they gave us a giant gearing revamp. It's called Spoils of War.
Yep.
And, you know, so basically, Nick, can you read that? Spoils of War, for anybody who's listening that doesn't know what it is, which I'm pretty sure everybody listening knows exactly what it is.
Yeah. Spoils of War is described by the devs in their most recent update as, play your way through with the most exciting and diverse selection of gear yet. With all new tactical items, new set bonuses, and more, you can pick the gear that enhances your personal playstyle and truly make your character your own.
And so...
go ahead.
So it's true. Doing the gear grind from 258 to 306 is actually fairly fast. They do give you a ton of gear.
Mm-hmm.
You need to keep your gear. Like, if the item rating is better, then you need to...
just keep it, even if it's not your specific to you.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, with that said, the... it's, how do I say this? So it's frustrating because your gear is so bad as you're leveling up till you're at 306. But once you're there, then you can fine tune your gear so much. And it is actually pretty cool. The tactical items are pretty sweet. Like, I just got the tactical I wanted for my Carnage Marauder. It's called Always Ferocious. So basically, I don't need to click a button anymore because it's always on.
Oh, that's cool.
But it does 50% less armor penetration. But with it always being on, that means my moves are critting all the time. So I think, and I haven't done a parse yet because I'm not in full 306 gear yet. I'm really curious to see with that tactical if my...
if it matters.
If my parse is going to be better or my DPS is going to be better with it or without it.
Right.
And pick something else. Then they gave us amplifiers, which once you have all of your gear set, all your mods and enhancements and all that stuff finally set, then there's amplifiers that give you small percentage boosts, like 1% boost here, 1% boost there. And you can really maximize your character and find that perfect build to do the most output of healing, tanking, or DPS,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty sweet. It's actually pretty cool, man. And I don't know if I'm just on the giant hype train because we got an expansion, but it's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But coming to the story, I forgot to say it. You get two new planets, which was Onderon and Mekshaw.
Mm-hmm.
Mekshaw is pretty sweet. You're going to love it. It's an asteroid.
Yeah.
So
it's like a base on an asteroid, right? Or mining colony.
Yeah.
Or something.
And then they did give us some free-to-play changes.
Yep. Want me to read it?
Sure.
So coinciding with the launch of the Onslaught expansion, we've made a few more changes to the free-to-play for free-to-play members. both the Rise of the Hutt Cartel expansion and Shadow of Revan expansion, and their respective level increases are now available for free-to-play players. So that's cool. So they, and I think that it feels to me, because in the regular class story, at least for the Sith Warrior, you have a lot to do with the Revanites. So it makes a whole lot of sense that you can just go ahead and play the Shadow of Revan expansion, because obviously that ties in a whole lot. Or at least like it did for my character, because my character joined the Revanites. So like when there's like the false Revanites essentially coming back later, you can be like, hey, what the hell? You know, I used to be one of you, and it's pretty cool. So that's cool that they did that to let you just go right in and keep on playing. That's nice.
Yes, and you know, it's I've been having a lot of fun just enjoying it. You know, with the gearing, they're giving free-to-play people more. I feel like they're really opening up the story to everybody and, like, trying to expand the game. There's been so many new people joining the game in, like, our guild alone. There's multiple people joining every day.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I keep seeing on Reddit, in the SOTOR Reddit subreddit, oh, I haven't played since, you know, X year, 2013 or 2016 or whatever. I see a lot of posts like that, and people are like, oh, what have I missed? And then all the comments are always positive. They're like, oh, they're, you know, it's great. A lot of new expansions. Like, so the new gearing looks pretty cool. And it's cool that, like, there's a lot of positivity coming from the community about this. And I think this expansion is really refreshing to the game in that, you know, it's almost like revitalizing, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yep. I agree 100%. And it's...
Plus, I think, talking about the story, the fact that it goes back to sort of Jedi versus Sith, you know, the Galactic Republic with the Jedi and the Sith Empire fighting each other, it's like returning to its roots almost. So I think that definitely contributes to the refreshingness, the refreshing feeling that this expansion has, as well as the, you know, the new gearing system, which is obviously people seem to be enjoying.
No, I agree.
Especially with the live version compared to the PTS. All in all, I'm really pumped about it.
Yeah, and it just makes it fun. Then they gave us some great quality of life changes, mm-hmm. like inventory management. Like your regular inventory window is, you know, got help because he gave us a crafting tab, a materials tab. I mean, it's just, they're making the game so much better.
Just like easier to play. You know?
Right. And it's, oh, I just am ready to just like dive in every day. And every time I do, it just gets better and better. Because it seems like everything is just, every day I'm doing a flashpoint and I'm getting like 50 pieces of gear. I'm like, oh, wow, this one's really good. I'm only going to use it for about 10 minutes until I get the next stuff, but it's really good. I know the crafters are really happy with the inventory changes.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I will say is, actually, Dr. Sotor, shout out, he did his Jedi Mind Trap for the Utini cast, and it was, this expansion is really expensive. It's like they're trying to take the billions of credits away from players, because everything, like in the old expansion, or in the old game, you know, pulling out a mod or enhancement cost you like 40,000 credits.
Yeah.
Now it's 100,000 credits.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so you start removing those pieces to do them all, you're spending millions of credits.
Oh, I only have like a million credits.
Millions. Well, right.
It's a lot for me, man. Little old me.
Yeah, little old you.
I might have to take out a loan from the bank of the B's legacy, or Working Class Nerd's legacy, whatever it's called now.
Yeah, Working Class Nerd. But anyway, so we, like I was saying about Duxton, so we went there finally, like the first week or two, we didn't go there because we all focused on gear. We went and a bunch of people have never been there. So we did story mode and we got to the last boss, but we ran out of time. So we'll go back next week and hopefully win it. And it's so good. Something else they gave us was a new Nautilin species.
Doesn't do a lot for you.
Well, it's not that it doesn't do a lot for me. It's just I'm not gonna level a new tune.
Yeah, that's a lot of work, you know?
Well, it's not that it's a lot of work. It's that I need to focus on operations. So, like, leveling a tune isn't in the thing. I'm going to level a tune, I'm going to continue to level my counselor.
Right.
Because I really want Nadia as a companion.
Gee, I wonder why that is.
I don't know.
What, do you know the voice actor or something?
Yeah. So, anyway, so I know, you know, they gave us level 75, but the... You level up so fast from level 70 to 75.
Yeah.
It's insane. Something else that they did back in the Knights of the Eternal series, they made a special story chapter for HK.
So, okay, yep.
And you could play as HK for this one chapter.
Oh, that's cool.
But it was a subscriber reward. And it's back when I was subscribed, but like it was the summer and I didn't play at all.
Right.
So I let 2 months lapse, and you had to be sub for all of the months in order to get it. So I never got that chapter.
Damn.
They just released it on the cartel market for like 3,000 cartel coins. So I'm probably going to buy that now.
Didn't we talk about that one episode way back? Somebody had a gripe that they never released that properly.
Right.
They just throw it on the cartel market and let people buy it. And I think that's cool that they did that. And I think 3,000 cartel coins is like $15 or something. In that ballpark, or 12 or something like that. I think that's fairly reasonable. Yeah. It's like less, you know, it's obviously less than subbing for 3 months, but it's still, it being so long ago, I think that's a fair price. If originally you had to pay, you know, what is it, 45 or whatever-ish dollars.
Right.
Since you have subbed for 3 months.
Yeah. So, well, whatever, you know, they're saying that it would have cost $160 if you... subscribe during their window or something like that, or $120. Like if you subscribe during the window, but you were subscribed anyways,
right? So it's not that much money.
Yeah,
and if it's only three months, like
yeah, but 3,000 cartel coins, that's like $30.
Oh, is it that much?
Yeah. So why not? Who cares? Like it's been out for 2 or 3 years. Like
yeah,
enjoy it. Like I'm gonna get it because it's content that I never got to see. Anyways, it's. They've done some really fun things, like simple, stupid things. Like,
oh, you're right. Yeah, it's new. For the record, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. For the record, 3,000 cartel coins is about $25.
Okay, I think it's more than that. I think it might be like 3,800 coins.
Oh,
but I'm not
even
really
more
sure. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So something else they gave us is better target marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Marketing. No, like
markering,
like all the vendors have like new symbols above it, so like you could see them further away.
Oh, that's nice.
And like when you target something in like an operation or flashpoint, like there's like a reticle that spins around that person.
I did notice that. That's a lot more clear. Well, they changed all of the menus to be a lot more intuitive too.
Correct.
Noticed.
And so
it's just like this makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I did notice that.
Yep. And you know, we're not going to get into all the gearing stuff
because
if you'd like
forever
to hear about gearing and stats, you should tune into the SOTOR Escape podcast because Max will break down his stats if you really ask him to. And he'll go number by number on what his gear is. Anyway, the only gripe I have about this whole thing is some items when you scroll over them, there'll be a window that pops up, like almost, and I can understand why they do it, but it like pops up and it's like, oh, this is an adrenal, whatever. And sometimes they're like, if you're trying to do something fast, it gets in your way. But you know, that's pretty much my only gripe.
Well, it's not a big gripe then.
No, it's a success. And my final thought is EA did their earnings call.
Oh yeah, they made a billion.
Well, they said they're just about at $1 billion for the life of the game since launch, maybe.
Yeah.
Which I know it cost $200 million to make the game.
That's a big profit margin, though.
Well, but either way, that was at launch. But they're saying since launch, it's made almost $1 billion. I don't know. Like, what does a game like Call of Duty make, or Elder Scrolls Online, or Skyrim?
Or World of War. World of Warcraft, I mean. Sorry.
Well, yeah, but that's a 14-year-old game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, where does a billion credits?
Where does that put it?
Yeah. Like, the thing that was more surprising is EA's like, this is the type of games we like. It's a gift that keeps giving.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, people have hated all the microtransaction stuff, but I think those were sort of an attempt by them to make some regular sort of console games into a gift that keeps on giving. And obviously they did it in ways that are not right.
Right, where the cartel market is just cosmetic.
Right. It's all cosmetics.
Yeah, it's nothing that can improve your
stats.
You right. still have to do the work.
Right, which is cool.
Yeah. Overall, man, I'm really excited for you to play it.
Me too. I will. I'm not going to be screwing around anymore. I'll hop on my...
No, you're not, because if you're getting the Outer Worlds tomorrow, you're going to be gone for at least 40 hours.
Well, that's not entirely true. If I show up next episode and I haven't played, do you know how disgraceful that'll be?
Yes.
I'll get it done.
I think Kogus will just kill you.
Kogus will straight up murder me. Yeah. He'll fly into Bradley, rent a car, drive to East Longmeadow.
Oh, I'd pick him up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know you would. You'd pick him up, let him sleep on your couch afterwards. You guys would have a beer or whatever.
Yeah.
Play some SOTOR, have a LAN party.
LAN party!
What are you guys talking about in here?
Find out next episode of Working Class Nerds.